I'm your host, Jennifer Han, and welcome to the Brexit Podcast. A lot of people in the public eye are really cautious to reveal how exactly they think about Brexit, and they sort of, you know, skirt around the topic or say it remains to be seen. Not so today's guest, Dave Brummich, who is a former Hearts and Essex Observer columnist who is currently working for the national newspaper and general Marmite topic, The Sun. He talked to Tim about why he joined the Liberal Democrats despite the tuition fee fiasco, and why he voted in despite the fact that the Remain campaign was woefully inadequate. He also revealed that the Sun office is split 50-50 between Remainers and Leavers, which is really quite interesting, so stay tuned to hear about why that is. If you enjoy the show, please rate and review us wherever you get your podcast fix, because that's how people find out about us, and it really helps us out. You can also get in touch via brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast.
Warm welcome to our next guest, Mr. David Brummich, who is a former columnist at Hearts and Essex Observer. Sadly, no longer. He says he's centre-left as well with his politics, but the centre's done a runner. Dave, how the heck are you?
I'm very well, thanks, Tim. Thanks for having me.
It's great to have you on. We've really been struggling to get people from the right-hand side of the debate to talk about Brexit, and we failed spectacularly once more. But I've been many times I've read your columns in preparation for this interview, and I just wanted to state to listeners that Dave's pretty out there with some of his views. Last column I read, he had a bit of a go at conspiracy theorists, the paper he was writing for, in fact, Andrea Leadsom, Tommy Mayer, which was probably fair in fairness, and some Brexiteers were chucking obfuscatory turds at the wall and seeing how many stick. So what sort of mood do we find you in today, Dave?
You know, my current state...
The big sigh says it all.
Yeah. My current state of mind says I'm really, really hoping against hope that Theresa May is trying to play me for a sucker. She's pushing for this hard Brexit, it seems, sort of pandering to the really hard, racist Brexit right rather than a soft Brexit. I can only think that she's doing this knowing that a hard Brexit just isn't feasible. Leaving the single market isn't really an option. Not if it gets a parliamentary vote on it anyway. The parliament will never vote for leaving a single market. And I'm hoping that it's so that she can say afterwards, sorry, racist right, I tried my very best to completely cut our ties with everything from Europe, but we're going to have to accept some movement of... people, you know, we're going to have a Norway deal. If that's a soft Brexit, I've tried my hardest for you to get a hard Brexit, just wasn't on the table. So I'm in this weird position where I'm hoping that's what she's thinking.
Okay.
But if she really thinks that a hard Brexit is feasible, then all is lost.
It's just sort of Donald Trump and backtracking at every which way.
Yeah, I hope. Yeah, I hope all our politicians are playing us for idiots and playing, you know, and going for the racists' vote, trying to placate them, and then later on saying, you know, I did try my best, but you're going to have to accept this middle ground.
So you're giving them quite a lot of credit there.
I have to. I think if I didn't give them credit, I'd be in a lot of worse state.
But see, you wrote in one of your columns, "Be prepared for two decades of misery, or someone out there to prove you're a Burke." That someone's got to be Theresa May.
I just want proof that this is going to be all right. And no one on the Brexit side has been able to do that. No one has offered anything. Brexit means Brexit. That's all they've got. There is no... I mean, I'm just coming in listening to the autumn statement today, and the outlook is really grim, fiscally. And all the experts said it would be. And there'll be obviously people who are Brexiteers will be saying, oh, it's got nothing to do with Brexit, that would have happened anyway. Or the rise in racist attacks, oh, that's got nothing to do with Brexit. Or someone actually said to me, you seriously suggesting that was to do with Brexit? Well, yes, it is, obviously. And again, the experts warned about it and it was dismissed as Project Fear. And here we are. I'm willing to be proved wrong. If the evidence suggests that we're going to be all right with Brexit, then great. But there's been no evidence, and it's driving me a bit mad trying to just argue the case that I want evidence. There is none.
Now you put out a tweet yesterday that was quite widely picked up, in fact. I just had a quick look before we came out. It was a Brexit, it's probably quite hard to explain over a podcast, but it was the Brexit definition, right?
It was the
word of the year.
I think it owed a lot to its punctuation. So yeah, saying it over a podcast might lose something in translation. But yes, it was about Collins' dictionary making Brexit its word of the year. And I said if it had any chutzpah at all, it would make the definition Brexit. Noun, Brexit. And it's fair to say it's been quite popular.
Yes, because what does it mean? What does it mean?
Exactly.
2,600 retweets popular. So I imagine you picked up a few followers from that.
I have.
And how many of those followers then left in your subsequent tweet?
Give them a chance, didn't they? I don't think I've lost any yet, but I've had about, I'd say, 40, 45, 50 new followers from it, which is about 5% of my total. So it's been quite nice. I've never had that many retweets before. Never gone viral.
So now you've been culled, cruelly culled, as Hearts and Essex Observer correspondent or columnist,
yes,
what have you. Where are you going to vent your frustration and anger now?
Interestingly, I've been looking up on the train in. I was looking how to write for HuffPost and Daily Beast. So I'll be approaching them. I've got a lot of writing left in me.
Be warned, you editors, for words like somnambulistically.
Yeah,
that was quite a bit impressive. More impressive than the way I pronounced it.
Somnambulistically, sleepwalking, which seems to be what the country's been doing.
Is that how you would sum us up? What would you do now if you were in charge and if you took over from Theresa May, who I saw Jonathan Pye in stand-up the other day, who likened her to, I believe, the deceased emperor from Star Wars with a wig. And now, what would you do, Dave? What would you do? I'll give you the keys to number 10. Lock yourself in.
Good question. I mean, since the referendum, I've joined the Liberal Democrats. I've not been a massive fan historically of Tim Farron, but I think he has shown a bit of gumption in the aftermath, unlike certain other party leaders we could name.
Do you believe we were better when the Liberal Democrats were with the coalition before the Tories?
Undoubtedly.
Well, you're with Jonathan Pye on that one then, exactly what he said.
Well, the Lib Dems blocked the Snoopers Charter, which has now been waltzed through in the last week under the Tories without any opposition at all.
So what does that mean for us?
Well, it remains to be seen, but we could, you know, they've got powers to snoop on us and read our emails and...
And the whole lot.
It's gross invasion of privacy. There's so many things that the Lib Dems muzzled the Tories on, but didn't get any recognition for. And obviously the own goal that was the tuition fees has been the one thing that's stuffed them, really. But as anyone who made a protest vote against Nick Clegg has been... anyone who thought the terrible part of that coalition was the Lib Dems as opposed to the Tories is grossly misdirected.
In your view. So you've now joined them?
Yes. I've not had much chance to do anything with them yet. But yeah. I mean, they've been arguing forcibly for a second referendum. I don't think that is feasible now. Even though... And this is the thing, I think a second referendum, if there was a second referendum, the vote would be overwhelmingly Remain.
You do think that?
I think there's been so many regrexiters.
Regrexiters, we can be, yeah.
There's so many 17-year-olds who...
You make up enough words in your columns, so just throw in another couple.
But yeah, so many 17-year-olds denied the vote, turning 18 every day, and they are overwhelmingly pro-EU, not to mention quite a few... old people dying who probably voted.
That's right, yeah.
Brexit.
Yeah, natural churn.
I think, and the poll, you can't trust polls very much, but the people who didn't vote, I think, again, the majority,
yeah,
a substantial majority, realise that they should have voted and probably voted
but
for
them. What is the... But, yes, go on.
So this is what angers me about the whole, denying the will of the people. Well, actually, if we found out the will of the people through a second referendum, I think you'd find the will of the people was actually to remain. And that's why they're so vehement about it, is because if the Brexiters were so sure that a second referendum would be a Brexit vote, then they wouldn't be so angry about it. But I think they know, really, they've got away with it. This perfect storm of apathy and, I don't know, rise on the right of just...
A vote for change.
A vote for change.
We've nothing to lose.
Yeah, and I think that was a one-off, never again to be seen in this generation occurrence that, yeah, if people had their time again, I think the majority would vote for it. But I can understand it would cause a lot of civil unrest. This is the problem. So I wouldn't be against a referendum on the terms of it, hard Brexit or soft Brexit. But again, I think we are represented by our MPs, and I think our MPs should vote on it. And I think the High Court's ruling about a parliamentary vote was spot on,
right,
by rule of law. And I hope that sticks when it comes up again next month.
Mm, but then that would just be a formality, won't it, to push through?
You would hope so. I mean, yes. The experts seem to think that's the case. Obviously, you've got Nigel Farage leading his march down to the court with his band of BNP, EDL and Britain First folks.
Seems to be more marches going on after the EU referendum than there was beforehand.
Well, I think that's the problem. I think, yeah. People were really put off by the whole campaign, weren't they? On both sides, it was a shambles. And you just found yourself thinking, oh God, when is this going to be over?
What is your take on post-truth politics?
Oh.
What a horrible term.
It's awful, isn't it? Can I
but
swear?
Is it, but is it true?
I think, well, post-truth is just bullshit under another name, isn't it? It used to be called bullshit. Why has it changed? I am very, very upset by the rise of the right and the fact that liberalism and democracy, well, not democracy, because obviously, yes, it was voted for and that's democracy, but certain liberal values are certainly taking a real battering at the moment. But worse than that is logic and facts are taking a battering, and that's what I can't, you know, I understand people being illiberal, but the illogic is doing my head in.
Mm. See, you said we should be listening, and I have been reading your column, you said we'd be listening more to Marine Le Pen, leader of the National Front in France, and Vladimir Putin. These are the people we should be listening to, says Dave Bromage.
Indeed. Someone did write into the paper after that and said, how dare he champion Marine Le Pen? Surely he can only be sarcastic and missed the point. I was being sarcastic. My point was, yeah, Donald Trump, Marine Le Pen and Vladimir Putin all think Brexit's great, so we should listen to them instead of the experts who say everything's going to go bad, because far better to listen to a cabal of assorted bigots than challenge your own pre-existing worldview.
No, quite. So I've taken that completely out of context.
Yes.
Excellent.
Yes.
I like to see I do my...
But you're not the first person to have done that. That's so understandable.
It was a 5-minute scam before we had this chat. The Liberal Democrats, I mean, what's the point, really? No one knows who Tim Farron is, and the way the voting's set up, they've got no chance of doing anything anyway, ever, have they?
Well, there is a Lib Dem fight back.
Okay.
There's a hashtag and everything.
Wow.
I was a big fan of Clegg. I think history will judge Nick Clegg far more, positively than he's been dealt with so far.
Been so far.
He's a bit of an out there figure now. I mean, yeah, Tim Farron.
He's a bit of a forgotten figure, isn't he?
Clegg, well, he's still talking about Brexit. He's still talking sense about Brexit. And the problem is now he gets barracked for it. He's very prescient about everything. He wrote just before the vote, he wrote about everything that would happen. And so far, he's not been proved wrong.
No.
So, I mean, yeah, his time, you say his time has passed as leader or any position. I would like to see a time where the Lib Dems get another chance at being in a coalition. Whether that's going to happen, I don't know. But the vast majority of people in this country are somewhere on the centre of the political spectrum. We can't just have a ridiculously far left Labour Party under Corbyn and rightward Tory party under May and UKIP going to the two extremes. There's got to be someone to cater for the people in the middle, and that's what the Lib Dems do. And the trouble is, the extremes seem to shout the loudest. It's always been the case. It was ever thus. So there's definitely a place for the Lib Dems. There's a vast number of people in the middle, and I don't see, with Corbyn alienating the people to the centre-left, he's too far left. I don't see why then the only alternative is to go Tory.
To the far right.
Yeah.
Hashtag Lib Dem fight back starts here. You heard it here first, or probably not, but close enough. God, what else should we talk about? We're looking to get more people on from the right.
Yeah, well, it'd be great if they had some answers.
So, what question would you ask? Let's get Nigel Farage. He's the most familiar
Farage
face of you.
Yeah.
Although he's probably too busy with his ambassadorial duties.
Indeed, he's out buying this for Russia, isn't he now?
Yeah.
More
expensive, though, than ever before for Russia.
Well, Nigel, if I accept that your party isn't racist, why is it so popular with racists? That's what I would ask him.
Okay, fair enough.
I mean, the climate of his campaign with that awful, massive billboard with the Syrian refugees all coming over. So it's just reminiscent of Nazi propaganda. It was, it was...
The similarities
were frightening. And that was on the morning of the Joe Cox murder. And then we were told, don't politicise Joe Cox murder. It's got nothing to do with the climate it was in. But we were wallowing in filth at that stage. That was utterly racist filth.
Mm. You did write quite a major column on that piece.
I did. And... Ironically, it was a bit of a Facebook wall rant, which then my editor said, "Can I put that on the paper's website?" And so it got out to more people, and they said, "Oh, the timing of this is terrible. How dare you be an opportunist and publish it?"
Yeah.
And it wasn't meant originally for publication, but I stand by it absolutely. And people did say, "Oh, how dare you politicise this?" When it's been proven this morning, when Tommy Mayer's been sentenced to life for the murder, that he did it for political motives, and it doesn't happen. He may well have been a nutter, as they say, but it doesn't happen in a vacuum.
No, one of the most bizarre court cases with a guy pleading innocent and he didn't do it.
Yes,
utterly strange throughout.
I mean, I was furious. I mean, and then he didn't offer any defence.
No,
I thought, you coward! If you put up your argument, put up your argument, and let it be ripped to shreds, because he's got absolutely nothing that he could say that could justify in anyone's mind that.
If Farage says that we just want our country back, and he would say that actually by being part of a united Europe, we're actually just ostracising the rest of the world, so it's a xenophobia on a continent scale rather than nationalism. What's your argument to that?
Yes, I've heard this argument. I mean, I think... seemingly, he wants us to be the 51st state of America, by all accounts, in the last week. Does he want loads more people from the Commonwealth flooding in from the West Indies and India? I welcome it. Would Nigel? I'm not convinced.
Mm.
I'm not convinced he's just got a problem with Poles and Romanians. Certainly, UKIP voters, who I've discussed this with online, have not really shared that view as a rule. So, by all means, the problem with Brexit, meaning Brexit, is that most of the people I know, middle class, elite, so many liberal, voted Brexit to just that reason, globalisation, to open up the world, possible trade with all countries all over the world, different continents.
Mm.
But then I think the majority of people voted Brexit to close us off, make us more insular, which is the polar opposite of that.
Mm.
So you've got these two different sets of people voting for Brexit, and now Brexit has been voted for. Which one do we go with?
Where are we heading? No, it's good. So That's Farage done. We put Cameron. Remember David Cameron?
Vaguely.
Yeah. Or as Jonathan Pye would say, well, it's something about pigs.
Something about pigs.
What would you say to him?
What were you thinking? What were you thinking? You arrogant idiot. How, I mean, he wouldn't have offered that referendum if he thought in any way that he would lose it. He was so arrogant going into it, and that showed throughout the whole campaign. And it's pathetic.
But Theresa May's there now.
Yes.
She does have a little bit of power in this.
She does. As I said,
I'm not entirely convinced.
I am not. If I take what she's been saying at face value, then I'm deeply troubled.
But what would you ask her? You got her on the stand.
Secretly, not publicly. I'd have to, in a private meeting with her, I'd give her a wink and say, yeah, nice one. I know what you're doing. Good work. Placate the very far right. Come back with soft Brexit. Because I was the staunchest Remainer out there. And now I would clasp soft Brexit to my bosom like my child. I'm so concerned about the idea of hard Brexit. And just literally cutting ourselves off from our biggest trading block.
Yeah.
Completely.
Yeah. What's your...
It makes no sense.
What is soft Brexit to you? What does soft Brexit mean?
That is a good question.
So we keep the trade links open as much as possible.
Keep the trade links, absolutely. I do think we'll need some freedom of movement. That's the other thing as well, it's been couched as stop people coming in. But is that, we've had our freedom of movement curbed as well, or we will have.
Of course.
So, yeah, that's my problem with the Remain side, is they didn't push up these aspects at the time, really. They didn't say, oh, the EU's great. It was all, if we leave the EU, it'd be a disaster. Not because the EU is great to be in and we have lots of freedom of travel, but just because we must stay in it for our own sakes.
It's all right, because Boris is going to get us out of all this, isn't he?
God. Boris, I mean, I wouldn't ask Boris a question because I couldn't take any answer he gave me seriously. You can't tell when he's lying, or, well, you can probably can't tell when he's lying.
Because he's... he's talking.
But that the morning after the vote, when he had to go up on stage and triumphantly take the victory, he looked like he was going to puke, and that was partly funny but also partly horrific.
Now you did do a bit of stand up. I'm not sure if you're still doing some stand up. You still writing stand up?
I'm not doing any stand up myself at the moment. I still do some writing, and I do the my work's Christmas do speech. That's
great.
Kind of the current, right. My current.
And have you written that yet?
I haven't. I've got a few bits. I have to get some dirt on
these are kind of hardened, hard drinking, hard swearing sports subs, aren't they?
Yes, they are. Yes, yeah.
The national newspaper, the Sun. So you're going to be able to wheedle a little bit of politics into this, or is that just going to make your eyes glaze over?
Might make people
booed off with bread rolls thrown at you.
My views are not. Yeah. My views are not those of my employer, and vice versa. There's some lively debate in the office, actually. I think we're split mostly 50-50 in the office. It's quite interesting. So we do get, some heated discussion.
The one thing, at least, this has raised some discussion, hasn't it? People understand a lot more now about maybe politics in the world. Or are we just operating in a little bubble, actually, and people aren't really listening?
You know what,
I'm still interested in Kim Kardashian and what's happening with Kanye.
People are, again, it's post-truth, though. There's a problem. The thing with Brexit and Trump, what it has done, especially Trump, has made people think on the liberal centre-left left, realise you can't. You need to be more respectful, I suppose, in discussions with the right and not dismiss them completely. But
Hillary,
Well, yes, this is the thing. I mean, the problem with Hillary's comment about the basket of deplorables was that she wasn't wrong. So many of their views are deplorable. Homophobic, racist deplorables who did, and no, that number all voted for Trump. I wouldn't have said it was the percentage.
But they're not all.
No, exactly. Of course they're not. Basketball. No, of course they're not. But many, many, many are. And in fact, they definitely swung the election. And they swung both elections. They swung both referendum.
I think we're nearly time to wrap up on this, but let's finish with something upbeat. What have you got for us? Must be something. A little ray, a glimmer of hope in all of this.
The thing I'm clinging to is, as I said, I think the majority of this country doesn't want Brexit, didn't want Brexit. I mean, I am now... Brexit's going to happen, and so let's make the best of it. But it's got to be on terms... It can't be railroaded through by the government. So the other thing... But with Trump in particular, again, the vast majority did not want Trump as president. And he didn't even win the popular vote.
No, he didn't.
And then
no.
The vast number of people didn't vote. So 25% voted for Trump. And we've got to remember that. And you've got to, so the bright point is, surely this will now stir us up, act as a catalyst just to get the liberal centre organised, mobilised, and push, and then we can make the best of Brexit. I don't know what that's going to entail, really, but I certainly would hope that in 4 years' time in America, the liberal values and liberal democracy values that have been hard hit this time around will be mobilised to come forward. And
so, in 4 years' time, we'll have Hillary in charge.
Oh well,
the indomitable. Hillary Clinton, and over here it's going to be Tim Farron for PM.
Yes, why not?
No problem. Thanks for your time today. Really appreciate it.
Thanks for having me, Tim. Thank you very much.
As always, thanks for listening. And if you enjoy the show, please subscribe to us on your podcast platform of choice so you'll be notified whenever we upload a new episode and you'll be able to tune in. In the meantime, you can find us at brexitpodcast.com and on Twitter, Facebook, and Instagram at Brexit Podcast. The show is produced by Jennifer Han, Tim Hemming, and Warren Paul, and our theme song is Cool Vibes by Kevin MacLeod.